funeral. Then, of course, that's you send a copy of a DD-14 to the branch of service to which they belong, and that's what's going to happen. And it's basically up to the family as to whether or not they want this or whether or not they want that.
For Quality News Network at the...
This is the Quality News Network. In Iraq, a three-day curfew had been lifted only a few minutes when violence erupted again in Baghdad, where both Sunnis and Shiites died in sectarian violence, and the bodies of more kidnapped victims were found dumped throughout the city. In addition, three more U.S. soldiers were killed yesterday, and an F-16 fighter jet crashed in the Anbar province today, but the fate of the pilot is not yet known. A prominent Republican senator is calling for the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq. Nebraska's Chuck Hagel, a Vietnam vet, writing in the Washington Post that there will be no victory or defeat for the U.S. in Iraq, and that the president should use the upcoming report from the Baker-Hamilton study group as the basis for beginning a phased withdrawal of U.S. troops. Meanwhile, Britain's defense minister is saying today that Britain expects to be able to withdraw thousands of its troops from Iraq by the end of next year. Britain currently has about 7,200 troops in southern Iraq, mostly in and around Basra. The trial of Saddam Hussein resumed today after a two-week recess. He's on trial for the military campaign against the Kurds in the 80s, which resulted in the death of more than 180,000 people. Iraqi President Jalal Talabani in Tehran today for meetings with Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad about stability in Iraq. President Bush has just departed from Washington for a NATO summit meeting in Latvia, during which the president will press alliance members to increase spending on defense, especially in Afghanistan. At the conclusion of the two-day NATO summit, the president will fly to Jordan for talks with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. Pope Benedict travels tomorrow to Turkey, where the prime minister has changed his mind and will meet with the pontiff after all before departing for the NATO summit. The Pope's visit, the first to a Muslim country by this Pope, has been a subject of controversy because of comments he made in September about the Prophet Muhammad, which many Muslims felt were disrespectful. Another disputed congressional seat is one step closer to being decided. The counting is over in Ohio, where Republican incumbent Deborah Price ended up with about 1,000 votes more than her Democratic opponent, but because the margin is so slim, there will be an automatic recount. British officials say an autopsy will likely be conducted later this week on a former KGB spy Alexander Litvinenko, who died last week of radiation poisoning. And now three people who had visited London locations where he had been, where tests now show the presence of radiation, have been referred to a special clinic for testing. The apparent winner of Ecuador's presidential election is economist Rafael Correa, a friend of Venezuela's Hugo Chavez. And 10 members of a group home in Missouri have died in an overnight fire, which also sent 19 residents to the hospital. The cause is under investigation. This is QNN.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that suits your needs. Are you on lender overload? Relief is just minutes away. Call Gold Coast Financial, 831-649-8757. 831-649-8757. Gold Coast Financial.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to a million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
The U.S. Supreme Court has thrown out an appeal of a ruling that dismissed a $10 billion verdict against tobacco maker Philip Morris for misleading consumers about the risks of smoking light cigarettes. An American email security company says that spam messages now account for nearly 90% of all emails sent out worldwide, more than 7 billion of them, and that's triple since June. The company also says that as many as 80% of them are bogus, launched by criminal gangs in the U.S., China, and Poland. Walmart may have found a way to build stores in India despite government rules there against multi-product retail chains. AP reports that Walmart has signed a franchise agreement with Indian business conglomerate Bharti Enterprises, which could result in hundreds of stores carrying both names being opened as soon as next August. Speaking of Walmart, stocks are lower on Wall Street following reports that Walmart's Thanksgiving weekend sales were down 0.1% from a year ago. Many investors see that as an omen for the Christmas season sales. Dow is down 97 points. points at 12,183. NASDAQ is down 30 at 2430. And the S&P 500 down 9 at 1391. Gold is trading more than $10 higher this hour at $645.50. And light sweet crude up 62 cents a barrel at $59.86. Silver is trading at $13.74 an ounce, up 51 cents. There's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter, and the time now is approaching 5 minutes past the hour.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right, thank you, Bob. It's a beautiful Monday here in the Windy City, Chicago, city of many names, as we said. And it hasn't been living up to its reputation cold-wise just yet. In fact, the temperatures were up in the 60 degrees this weekend, and I really enjoyed it, and over the Thanksgiving holiday. And hope you all had a good Thanksgiving holiday. It was just my roommate and I. All of my family is, like, away somewhere. They're out either in Orlando or they're in New York or they're spread out in different parts of the country. So it was just me and my roommate, and but we had a good time. I made a turkey, and I made way too many potatoes. And we bought a ham, but we haven't even touched a ham yet, so we got to get started on that. Well, I want to thank, first of all, I want to thank everybody here at the Head On Network for getting me back on. I was going to be on Friday. I was actually planning on being on Friday. And I was talking to my good friend Ben Birch of the White Rose Society, and he said, are you going to be on? Because, you know, I heard they were going to have all the shows on reruns on Friday. And I said, really? So I called up Bob and Agnes, and then they confirmed that they wanted to give everybody a break on Friday, which was kind of nice. So I was kind of looking forward to it. I wanted to talk about Thanksgiving stuff, but that's okay. You know, it's nice to have to be able to sleep in a little bit when I do the show. I want to welcome everybody who's listening in on the Head On Radio Chat Network. If you just go to headonradionetwork.com and click on the live chat, you can get down in there and talk to some of the smartest people on the internets. they're a good group of people over there. And I say internets, I kind of laugh because that's how George Bush, I think it was Bush, one of those moron country, described it, the internets. And but no, those are some of the really smartest people out there in the blogosphere, and you know, you can get in there. Just headonradionetwork.com. Also, I want to say hi to my friend Sarge out on the Gulf Coast. I was thinking of him over Thanksgiving, and you can read about what's going on the Gulf Coast at unreportednews.net, www.unreportednews.net. My website, since I'm giving these things out like candy, is cupofjoe.blogspot.com, cupofjoe.blogspot.com. And if you want to email me about any subject at all and send me 90% spam, which that's a remarkable number, my email address is joe@cupofjoe.com. That's joe, J-O-E, at cupofjoe.com. It's not cupofjoe.com. I couldn't get that. Somebody already snagged that. Some squatter who's sitting on it. I don't think they're doing anything. I haven't checked in a while. The last time I checked, nobody was doing anything with it. You just kind of had it. Some people were doing that. They were just buying out all these damn names and all that. Now Wednesday where I work downtown. Wednesday is my normal day off, and I had Thursday off with pay. I've been with the company long enough to get a day off with pay. And my shop was apparently open on Thursday for Thanksgiving. It's not unusual. There are some people who do work on the holidays. But I found out that there were some people who were working on Thanksgiving who had a paid day off on Thanksgiving. And I was thinking, why are you coming into work when you're getting paid to take the day off. I mean, it's a holiday. It's a Thanksgiving. It's not. We're not talking about, you know, one of the little middling holidays here. You know, Thanksgiving's a pretty big day. It's the beginning of the actual holiday season, right? Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. I mean, that's, you know, that's the big deal, right? And it's bigger than Halloween. It's bigger than a lot of the 4th of July. It's bigger than a lot of other holidays. Only probably Christmas and New Year's match it, as far as that's concerned. And maybe not even New Year's, you know. Thanksgiving and Christmas are the two biggest holidays of the year. So here you are, you're working on Thanksgiving, even though you're getting a paid day off. And I'm like, why is that? And then the lady I was sitting next to was saying, well, you know, people get a little extra money. You know, because if you don't work, you just get paid regular time. If you do work, you get paid holiday time. And I'm thinking, that's ridiculous. I don't care. You know, my wife, I used to tell this to my wife, and I love my wife, and I miss my wife greatly. And she worked her ass off all of her life, okay, from high school. She worked very, very hard. And I used to tell her about money. The money comes and money goes. But once a second passes, any second in time passes, it's gone forever. You don't get that back. Okay, you can't just go to work and get that extra money and say, okay, you know, reverse time, now I can spend some time with my family. No, it doesn't work that way. And I said to the people who worked on Thanksgiving Day, and anybody out there, if you work Thanksgiving Day, even though you got paid for a day off, you ought to be ashamed of yourself on several fronts. First of all, we have such a perverted work ethic in this country. We really do have a work till you die attitude about certain things, about this. And I see people who actually brag about how hard they work in context of, you know, a little extra money. I mean, we're not even talking about that much money. I mean, I don't know how much it would take for me to work on a Thanksgiving Day. Even though I don't have any family, mind you, here. You know, it's not like I can go out and just, you know, be with the relatives and all that. Not that a lot of them would want me around to begin with. I'm just kidding. But, you know, it would take a great deal of money. It's such an enormous amount of money. It would like be like a year's salary. You'd have to pay me for a year's salary in order to get me to work on Thanksgiving when you're paying me today to take a day off, okay? And the people who did that ought to be ashamed of themselves. And first reason is why, because, you know, like I said, money comes and money goes. The second reason is, don't encourage them. You know, my wife used to tell me a story. She used to work at a place called S&S Cafeteria. Maybe some of you have heard of it. They're like a Morrison's. And it's just one of those places where if you've never been there, I don't want to say it's a buffet, but it's set up like that, where they have all the food out there in front, and you go in, and it's like a little line, and you grab a tray, and you grab some silverware that's wrapped in a napkin, and you go down the line, and you say, okay, I want some of this, and I want some of this, and I want some of this. And at the end, they ring you all up, and then you go take a seat. It's not an all-you-can-eat place. You just, you know, get a la carte, right? And my wife, I think it was her first job, I'm pretty sure. It was her first job, and her job was to roll the silverware. She basically took a knife, a fork, and a spoon, and she rolled it up in a napkin. And, you know, that was what she would do. It was part-time work. It was what she did, in between going to classes. And then she started, you know, when she got fairly good at it, she would finish a lot quicker than the time she had, and then she would sit there for a minute, and then she would notice that the dishwasher guys sometimes needed a little help. And they didn't wash dishes by hands, of course. They just put it into, like, these dish racks. I don't know if you've seen these automatic dishwashers, which is like a conveyor belt. And so she would start helping him out a little bit. Well, before you know it, she was being forced to do that, made to do that as a regular part of her job. And then other things got added onto it. Were they paying her any more money? No. No. My son Christopher, who was Kathy's middle son, very nice guy, he started working at Popeye's Chicken. And when he first started working, he was bragging about how, you know, they really like him to do stuff because, you know, he's doing such a good job and he's such a hard worker and all of that. And I said, I told him, they're going to take advantage of you. And sure enough, a few months later, he's telling me about how they're calling him on their days, on his days off and stuff like that, trying to make him come in and work all the time and work extra shifts. And I said, I told you. I said, are they paying you anymore? And he says, no. And I said, there you go. Welcome to the real world, kid. Did you work on Thanksgiving? Give me a call. Let me know. 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HIT-ON. Let me know so I can chew you out. We got a Beatles break here. We'll be back in a minute.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.ORG.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe radio show. My name is Joe, and I'm sitting to call. Listen, I'm talking to you. I'll say it right. I'm talking to you from the great underground First Amendment bunker here in Chicago. I used to be in the heart of downtown Freeperville, but that is no longer the case, and quite frankly, I'm glad to be out of the South. I love some people in the South. I still have a lot of friends down there, but you know what? They can have it. They can have it. They can keep their little crappy environment down there. Let them have their nice weather. I'll take a nice cold Chicago winter, and I'm looking forward to that when it does come. It hasn't quite hit you yet. It's gotten a little cold a couple of times, but I'm waiting to see January, February, and all that. And let's see how that is. I'm actually looking forward to it. People think I'm crazy, but that's how I am. What can I say? What was I talking about? I was talking about our perverted work ethic. And I mentioned a couple of stories about my wife working at a S&S cafeteria and my son Christopher who worked at Popeyes. Now, you know, a job like that, and I'm sure any of you out there listening know somebody that works for a place like that. Not just Popeyes, but any kind of franchise joint. And even some of the non-franchise joints that, you know, not even restaurants and stuff like that, but places where when you start to do something, they just make you do more of it and they don't pay you any more for it. And the other thing, you know, when talking about people working like that and just to make a few extra dollars, what do you wind up doing with that money? You don't really get a chance to save it very much. I mean, for some people, they just need it just to get by every month. And that's not a situation that you know, my father's generation had to deal with very much. I mean, when they were working a full-time job, okay, they were earning enough money so that not only could they support themselves and their families, but that they could save enough money for retirement, you know, to go along with their Social Security and to be able to buy a house. I mean, you know, I tell this story often. My dad made $6.50 an hour in 1968. He supported a family of five with that salary, and he managed to save enough so that we could buy a house. That we bought a house in Florida. This is the American dream. You know, my dad didn't have a high school education. He worked for the city of New York. I don't want to say he was an unskilled laborer, but he did general labor. He helped fill potholes and helped keep the bridge, the roads on the bridges in repair. You know, he wasn't a rocket science. He didn't have a college education. He wasn't a highly skilled profession. Yet, only, nowadays it seems like only people who work in very skilled positions can earn that kind of money. Okay, construction workers still make a pretty decent chunk of change. But it's very hard work, and of course, as is the case in a lot of places, they're always trying to find the cheapest labor they possibly can. And you skimp on the labor so that, you know, and where is that money going when it's being saved? Well, it's going to the shareholders, and it's going to the executives, who aren't doing any actual physical work. We ought to start refusing to work on these holidays. We ought to have a few years where we just say, you know what, we're not working on any holiday. Now, you know, I don't, there are some places where you obviously need to continue to work if you're working. I mean, you know, hospitals, you know, if you're a policeman or a fireman, obviously those are things that need to be done, okay? And there are always jobs like that go on regardless of holidays. I mean, you accept that, and if you work in those, if you work in those fields, you understand that and you accept it, and that's fine. But, you know, if you work, you know, there's no reason for a fast food joint to be open on Thanksgiving. I'm sorry. There's no reason for any kind of shopping place to be open on Thanksgiving. And somebody else pointed out to me, you know, the amount of money that they earn in one profits for one day doesn't really justify the amount of money they wind up actually paying out in salaries and stuff like that. And Kmart was open Thanksgiving evening, you know, to try to get the first on, you know, the so-called Black Friday, which is just something somebody made up, something somebody pulled out of their butt. You know, and it's like, why are they open? You know, and I feel for the employees. There's a Family Dollar place over here that was open on Thanksgiving. And I'm like, why is that place open on Thanksgiving, damn it? As if they're going to be one of the ones really seriously taking advantage of Thanksgiving. You know, go home. Close the shop and go home. And if you want to concern yourself over people, concern yourself over what's going on in Iraq. If you want to be thankful for something, be thankful you're not in friggin' Iraq. And that's the other problem with this country, and Bob Herbert had a column about it today in the New York Times, is that we're so self-obsessed, we're so self-centered about what goes on in this country, that we've chosen to ignore and push out of our minds anything bad going on in Iraq to such an extent that we don't want to do anything about it. I mean, I can understand where people's like, you know, there's so much bad news, I don't want to hear it, and, you know, I just want to enjoy my Thanksgiving, blah, blah, blah. Those of you who aren't working. And in the meantime, you know, how many people have died in Iraq? And Thanksgiving was one of the bloodiest days. The Thanksgiving Day Massacre is what they're calling it, is one of the bloodiest days ever in Iraq since the occupation began. And we feel very disconnected from it. Doonesbury last week was having a series of columns with the character BD, who, for those of you who haven't read it, BD is a longtime character. Well, Doonesbury's been one of the longest running strips in American history. And BD lost a leg fighting in Iraq, and he came back, and where he went to he went back to Walden College, where he went, and he was talking to the priest there who was teaching the history class, and it was filled with a whole bunch of wingnuts who support the war and yet refuse to go fight. And BD's like incredulous, you know, because BD is a right-wing type, but he's not a lunatic. And, you know, unlike some people, he puts his friggin' money where his mouth is. And he lost a leg in Iraq. And he had a lot of issues with that. And here are, you know, all these right-wingers. And I see them all the time. I go into the right-wing chat rooms and just I don't say anything to them. I just watch them talk. And on Thanksgiving Day, I went in there and looked, what are they bitching about? They're bitching about illegal immigrants. You know something? Screw you. Screw you, you stupid idiots. I felt like grabbing my bat, and I got a story about the bat in a minute, and I felt like grabbing the bat and going out there and just cracking some skulls, because, you know, sometimes that's the only way you can deal with some of these people. You know, just shut up! You supported the war, why aren't you over there? If you're healthy enough to sit at your stupid computer all day to waste time bitching and moaning about Mexicans or whoever, you're okay enough to go out and fight for your country if it's something you really seriously believe in. But the fact that you don't go over there shows that you're not serious about it. Even though it's a stupid war to begin with, and you only cheered it on because you get images in this head, oh, glory, glory, oh, do. We're going to go kill them all, oh, do, 9-11, oh, do, terror, do. Are you going to go and fight? Oh, no. Oh, no. Not me, I have important work to do. I have very important work to do. I must bitch about Mexicans. You can't ask me to go and fight, oh, no. Cowards. Cowards, all of you. Cowards, all of you. And so what are we doing? We're working a few extra hours at work to get a few extra dollars to do what? To stuff in Walmart's pockets? And who benefits from that? You certainly don't, because Walmart is one of those companies that would force you to be open on Thanksgiving or to work on Thanksgiving or to work extra hours without pay, and whose policies overseas wind up screwing the countries that they work in, those people work in. Not that we really care about, you know, foreign workers, right? And who is it helping? Walmart's shareholders and their executives. Is it helping their employees? No. Is it helping the communities where the Walmarts exist? No, because Walmart doesn't give a damn about anything about themselves. They're an island unto themselves. What happens in the community at large doesn't matter to them. They don't care. What happens to their employees? They don't care. Someone who's been working there for a long time has been a good, loyal person to the company. Hey, let's get rid of them and hire some new person that we can pay, you know, 75% of what we were paying the other guy. What's gone wrong with the world? How can anybody bother us if these communists jumping in with me? Sorry, I just get started quoting Monty Python there. Oh. And it makes it hard for me to enjoy Thanksgiving. it makes it hard for me to enjoy any kind of time off, because you just think about the insanity of the world and the insanity of this country, and you wonder, what the hell are we doing? Let me know what you think. 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. It's the bottom of the hour here. Give me a call. Let me know what you think, and we'll talk. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here is some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. We got two people online. Let's get right to it. First, I want to talk to my good friend Sarge out on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi. Hi there, Sarge. How are you?
How you doing today?
Pretty good. How are you? How was your Thanksgiving?
It was another day.
Another day. Huh?
Holidays don't mean a lot to me. That's what I was going to say. You know, for some people, going to work is better than sitting around the house.
Yeah, but these were family people, and that's just the thing. These were people who had family, places where they could go, and they chose to stay and work in the first place, and that really kind of annoyed me. You know, guys like me, single guys, I'm with you, because, you know, the holidays didn't mean a whole heck of a lot to me until, you know, I was with Kathy. So that, if that's the case, that's one thing, but these were people that had families.
Yeah, I sat here and needed to go get some dog food, and I couldn't because the grocery store was closed, so I had to scrape by and get what little food I could up for my dogs, and Then the next day I got up to go to the grocery store, and my dang car wouldn't start.
it was one of those days, huh?
It was one of those days, but you know, I can't complain. There's people within 2 hours of me that, you know, they would have just been grateful to have been in that circumstance, because
I hear you. You know, I go every day when I go to work there, I see a few homeless people, and you know, as bad off as I think I have it sometimes, I look at them and I think, you know, they're but for the grace of God, right?
And well, you know, it's bad the way things are, because you've got people that they're sick but they can't get any help because you know, the medical situation is so rotten. They don't have insurance. There's people at work, and I mean, you know, have decent paying jobs, and they get sick. They're gonna lose their job. They're gonna lose everything they have before they can ever get any help. And it makes me wonder. Then you look at this Medicaid Part D thing where they're really screwing over the people. And now we've got that Democrat, I can't think of his name, from Montana, who is saying, well, let's just do away with the donut hole. With the donut hole. On second thought, let's don't investigate it. You know, he's changed his tune. All of a sudden, let's leave it like it is, you know?
You're not talking about John Tester, are you, our newly elected senator from Montana?
Yes.
Are you talking seriously?
Yes, he has backed off of it, and he doesn't want to even have hearings on it. He's very cool to the hearing portion. And
man's been in Washington for 5 minutes, and it's already changed him. I'll have to double-check on that, though, and make sure it's Tester and
I heard it off of Dr. Mike Newcomb's show this morning. That's where I got my source. But, okay. You know, this is bad, because you just can't do this to the elderly. It's bad for a you know, average middle-aged or young person to get stuck in that position. But good gracious, you put your elderly in there, and they're already sick.
Right.
I mean, what is this man thinking? Has he lost his friggin' mind? And Pelosi has come out and said that's one of the things she wants to do in the first 100 hours.
Yeah,
and so
I heard the Republicans are mad that she is scheduling a whole bunch of work right after the Congress convenes. You know, they're used to just, you know, going in there and then going right to their golf game. You know, gaveling in a day. Well, it's a day, and then shutting the day down, and then going off to play golf with some donators or something.
Well, I tell you what, I'm glad she's wanting to do something, because somebody had better do something. Look at Iraq. Good gracious, that thing's way out of control. They find around 40 people a day that's been tortured and murdered.
Yeah, it's awful. It's a disaster, and we knew it was going to be a disaster. Not, you know, and you can't even make the case that if you think it was a noble idea in the first place, you know, you can't even make that case anymore. I mean, even in those really weird days when you thought, well, maybe they really have a plan, and it turns out that they didn't have a plan. Just, you know, let's just throw a few bombs on people, and we'll use our military weight to stomp on them, and it'll be over quickly, and we won't have to worry about it.
They claim all along that they had a plan, and now we find out they never did have a plan, which we pretty much figured, you know. There's people here that will still vote for these jokers, you know, because, I mean, look, Trent Lott went back in, you know?
Yeah.
It just makes you wonder, just, you know, what am I missing that they're seeing, or what are they not seeing, you know? Because, I mean, dang, Lott voted for, he voted against the amendment that said, we're telling the Iraqis we don't like this policy that they'll grant amnesty to anyone that kills only Americans. Well, I voted against that.
Mm-hmm.
which is just putting a big old target on the back of Americans over there. And, I mean, what is up with this? These people.
The whole country has gone insane. I mean, this is what happens when you have... This is what historically happened to any country that gains tremendous wealth and power, that people who have great ambitions eventually wind up taking it over and trying to just turn it so they get more money and power for themselves. I mean, it happened in ancient Athens. It happened in ancient Rome. And granted, the Roman Empire lasted a lot longer than the Roman Republic did, but was it any better for its citizens? I don't think so.
No.
You know,
when you get rid of your middle class, when you get rid of your working class, you start having problems. And I can't remember what ancient civilization it was, but they had gotten to the point where they had such a high income level that they didn't actually do the work. They hired outsiders to come in and do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually led to their overthrow because the outsiders came in and took over and nobody could do anything. And
right.
So they started losing all their money. And they started losing all their rights, and next thing they knew, they had lost their whole civilization. So, you know, we better wake up and start thinking in this country, because if we don't, I don't care who's in office, Democrats, Republicans, or who not, we can't continue on this path. Somebody's got to stand up and say enough is enough.
And you know, Sarge, the funny thing is that I got people on both sides telling me that one guy who's like, aren't you happy that the Democrats won? And I'm like, well, let's wait and see what they do. And he says, see, you're always so negative, Joe. You're always such a pessimist. And I got another guy who's telling me, said, oh, these Democrats are just as bad as the Republicans. And I'm like, you know, can't we get a sane, rational point of view somewhere? You know, you got these extremes where everything's going up to hell and everything's going to be, you know, flowers and roses because, you know, the Democrats won one election.
Well, you know, I'm not a big fan of Pelosi's, but I'm not against her either, you know.
Right, you know.
I'm kind of in that situation where it's what they do that I'm for or against. It's not them personally.
Right,
know?
Right.
I don't care if they're Democrat, Republican, Independent. If they're doing what needs to be done for the sake of the country, then dang it, put them back in office. If they're not, then get rid of them. I don't care what office they are.
And course, that was
the Republicans.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
They can't rule.
Exactly. Well, you know, and that was the attitude that I've been trying to express all along to people. You know, the important thing is what gets done. If they want to be a-holes, they can be a-holes. Just be competent a-holes, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, Bush had a perfect opportunity after 9/11 to really unify the country. And to do what's right as far as, you know, trying to combat, you know, the problem of terror. And he didn't do it. He decided he's just going to say, well, I'm going to do what I want now. I've got the political capital to do it, and I'm just going to do it.
Well, Joe, I appreciate your little opening remarks about me and my website. Thank you for that.
Sure.
And let me say that right now we're kind of redoing it, reshaping it, but there's still some stuff on there that I think everybody needs to go see. We may not be posting right off for a few days because we're trying to redo it a bit, but there is a young man that Bob Kincaid's talked about that we're trying to get some help to, and Jacob Cato, and
mm-hmm.
You can find it's the second story down. You can find a link that'll take you to where you can donate if anybody wants to throw a few bucks into the young man's help. He's in
okay.
Pretty bad shape.
And that's unreportednews.net, right? .net or .com?
.net.
.net. I thought I had that right. I had it right the first time. Okay.
All right. And thank you so much. We appreciate everything you're doing, and you have a nice day.
Thank you, Sarge. Okay, we've got another caller on the line, but we're going to... That's Dave from California, but we're going to hold off on you, Dave, until the next break, and I'm sorry to keep you waiting. But, you know, when the lines get busy, the lines get busy. I got a couple of minutes here, and let me talk about some of these things here, because I really think that there's a problem in this country that people just simply aren't thinking properly. And, you know, Bob Herbert's column, you know, raised some scary points about how we're very disconnected with with what's going on in Iraq and what's even going on in our country. And that there were people apparently waiting, you know, at 5 in the morning to rush into a Walmart to buy stuff. And I'm like, you know, I don't even like to get up at 5 in the morning when I have to go to work, okay? And here are people, if they're there at 5 o'clock, it means they were up at 3 or 4 in the morning. And for what? People waiting in line for 2 days to get a friggin' PlayStation 3? Is this where our priorities are? I mean, I'm not, you know, saying that you shouldn't go out and get video games and you should spend all your days in doom and misery and blah, you know? But for crying out loud, what a waste of time. What a waste of time. If you've got that kind of money and you can afford to take the time to take 2 days and wait in line for a stupid game, you can use that time and money much more wisely. People spent most of their lives without, you know, I'm 45 years old. I've spent most of my life never having played a video game, okay? Never even, you know, they didn't even come into existence until the late 70s, mid-late 70s. You know, Pong, I forget what year Pong came out. Okay? You can live without them, people. You can have lots of fun without them. What was the old joke that Groucho Marx said when he had a woman on You Bet Your Life that had, like, you know, 15 kids or something like that? And Groucho said, how come you have 15 kids? And she says, well, I just like kids, Groucho. And Groucho says, I like pancakes too, but I don't have closets full of them. The number to call, once again, and we do have a caller online, and I'm sorry to have kept you waiting, but, you know, You gotta take what you get. I can't have everybody online at the same time. The number to call in is 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And we'll be back in a few with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bruce Birch. We know what talk radio sounds like under the control of the disease of addiction.
This is Michael J. Fox. He's got Parkinson's disease. And it's, in this commercial, he is exaggerating the effects of the disease.
I'm gone to detox mansion, way down our last breath on. I've been raking leaves with lies at the end of this lead up the yard.
I recently took a leave of absence to get a tune-up for my own recovery. I am back and in a new time slot, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m., right here on the Head On Radio Network. Hope you join me.
In the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, you can help people in need. Here are a few suggestions. Contact your local Red Cross. Donate blood. Call 1-800 help now. You can also donate money. Go to redcross.org. And as well, you can contact your local church, synagogue, or mosque and find out what they're doing to help people affected by Hurricane Katrina. Thank you for your help and get involved.
Hi, my name is Joanne and I have mannequinism. Well, I did have it, but I'm not a mannequin anymore. Doctors said over 75% of my body turned into plastic. They said it's because I wasn't active in my community. Because I didn't vote or volunteer or I don't know. All I wanted to do was cry, but I couldn't because I had plastic eyes.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here in the Cup of Joe show. Let's just not keep Dave from California waiting. Let's get him right on the line. Hi, Dave. How are you?
Hey, pretty fair, Joe. And I do know that you're calling it accurately. You're saying what it's all about. I often ponder why a democracy would allow people so exploitive, so greedy, so uncaring about the majority of us to gain such power. The conclusion.
I think.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, the conclusion that I keep coming up with is that they had planned it out, then they stole the government of this country. They did it with trick election rigging. And that's how we've got them in power. So now they may claim that they've got a mandate, legitimate and whatnot, but I'm convinced that they have done it all through trickery.
Well, I'm going to be talking more about that in the second hour of the show, but I think there's something above and beyond that. I think they wouldn't be able to get away with it if we didn't have a press that was just not really concerned with doing the news anymore, and B, a nation of people who are really so self-involved with their own lives that they're, you know, just kind of like not pretending that everything outside of their little bubble doesn't even exist. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, like the people who went out and worked on Thanksgiving Day, even though they got paid for staying home, you know, all they were thinking about is, well, I can buy a few more presents. And they weren't worried about, you know, the cumulative effect of the things they're doing. You know, I mean, that's a small thing, but it's something. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we've got so many people, though, with so much influence now that act so detrimentally to the best interest of the people. They're there to take away benefits, to lower our wages, to ask for more, and to pay less. And
where does that money go to? And that's what I want to know. They're paying us less, and they're giving us less benefits. When that money hasn't disappeared, it's going somewhere. And where is it going? It's going in their pockets primarily.
Yeah, I guess it's a great time to be a greedy billionaire. Got your people steering the ship right now.
Well, why do we put up with it? That's my question. I mean, why haven't we? You know, why am I the only guy with a baseball bat in the room ready to go out and crack some skulls?
Well,
you know, why isn't everybody?
What is, to me, most discomforting is to know that, you know, those of us that can figure out obvious things like exploited people stealing elections, why does Congress look the other way and whistle a happy tune? Why are we not hearing more? They're afraid that they're going to be called bad names by the wackos. They're going to be called conspiracy theorists if they say you stole the election. I'm convinced we just lost about 50, maybe 60 House seats because they planned to rig the election, thought they were going to retain control of both houses. They just miscalculated. They underestimated how many people were going to show up and vote against them.
Yeah, and I was just reading something via the Sideshow and other of the websites that I read that Avedon Carroll, who's out in England, although she is an American, she was pointing out where the exit polls were showing that the actual percentage, there was like an 11-point difference in the exit polls between the Democrats and the Republicans, that Democrats won generally an average about 55 to 43, you know, 55 points up and 43 points up and whatever. And what they did was, what the actual voting results were a lot closer than that. It was more like 52 to 48. And, you know, I was speaking with Ben Birch of the White Rose Society, as I mentioned early on, and he said that the rigging did occur, but just like you said, it just got overcome. And part of that was because of the Republican base turned against them, which is what they weren't really expecting. But yeah, they're rigging the elections, and I mean, I've been a very vocal advocate of a very simple and very accurate election process, and nobody wants to talk about it. And when I was in DeKalb County in Georgia, the Democratic Party down there, you know, they didn't even want to hear about it. And these were mostly people of color who were being mostly disenfranchised, and they didn't even want to talk about it.
Yeah, I live in a county, it's called Humboldt County up here in Northern California, and this year we prevailed upon our county supervisors to allow 10% of all the paper ballots, the absentee ballots, to be counted manually. And so that's been a very long, tedious process, but they're finding many, many, many of the ballots that they're selecting to count are damaged so badly they can't be read. How does that happen? People don't take the time to vote and then mail in a ballot that's so damaged it can't be read. If they really want to vote, they'd go down and get a new one. So somewhere right there in the registrar's office, somebody is selectively destroying ballots that they don't want to have counted.
And it's, you know, and the thing about it is, if you have elections where everything is counted by hand like that, you can still do stuff like that, but you have to do it in such a big way. And that's mail-in stuff. If you have a situation where the voting is by paper ballot, and where, okay, let's say you have a room with all the ballots, right, and it's arranged in a circle around where the ballot box is, and you vote and you go right to the ballot box and you put it there, and that ballot box is right there in the middle of the room with a camera on it, with a guard on it maybe, you know, where it's watched constantly. Chain of custody is the term that we in the election biz like to use. I'm not in the election biz, but you know
that
what I'm saying.
And
this way, and then when they do count it, they count it right there in the precinct. You dump them all out on the table and you say, okay, this is a vote for the Democrat, and you put it in the pile, you know, for the Democrat. This is a vote for the Republican, and you put it there. And you do that for each race, one at a time. And you have a clear thing, and everybody publicly is right there. You have it with cameras on them, and you do it right there. And they put it up, they got a big chalkboard or a big whiteboard, and they write, these are the results. Democrats, X amount, Republicans, Y amount, other parties, this amount. And that gets phoned in to the next level. You get the precinct level, then you have what, the regional level, the district level, then the state level, then the national level for whatever you're doing. You do it like that, there's still going to be some fraud, but you're going to eliminate so much of it, it's going to be negligible.
Well, I like what you guys, the whole network, is saying. You know, you're in the process, I think, of wising up a lot of people, and desperately it needs to happen. I do understand... Well, that Ron Wyden, the senator, Democrat from Oregon, is asking that all states vote as they do there. And that is that each person gets an absentee ballot, fills it out, and either hand delivers it or puts it in the mailbox. And
right.
They are then counted on, of all things, Diebold vote counting machines, but then the machines will decide how they want it to go, but you don't have the paper. It's there to be recounted if they rig it, so...
Well, they don't even, you know, I don't even trust the optical voting machines myself. Count them all by hand. What, you know, how come Canada can do it and we can't? How come Germany can do it and we can't? France, Spain, England, Portugal, Italy, the Italians, for Christ's sake, they do it better than we do, okay? And the Italians are known for, you know, not being very organized about these things, right?
I understand.
And if they can do it, why can't we?
This last election, Bush loaned his good friend, Berlusconi, a few dozen of his favorite machines.
Yeah.
And they turned 8.5 million votes, which they thought would be enough. Because the absentee, the exit polls and everything showed that, but it ended up that Berlusconi just barely lost. They did, again, they had miscalculated how many votes they needed to switch. But.
Right.
Yes, and, you know, all over Europe, Belgium, Greece, everywhere, they vote in a verifiable, provable way. And only here could they pull a trick like that and have the people, the Congress, t- tolerating it. Do stay with your good efforts, sir.
Well, thank you, Dave. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, we'll do it again here soon.
Oh, sure. I look forward to it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, sure. And again, I'm going to talk about this. We got the news coming up here in just a few minutes. We're not quite ready to go just yet. I want to thank Dave and the Sarge for calling. And before we go off to break, the number again is 1-877-443-2366. I'm going to be talking about this in a little bit more detail after the break. I was hoping to get my good friend Ben Birch from the White Rose Society on. I don't know if he got my email. He was going to call in on Friday, but of course I wasn't doing the show on Friday. We found out. But yeah, it's remarkable to me, not so much that there's cheating going on, because you know that's how humans are. You know, that's how some people in the human race are. They're just going to cheat. But it's remarkable to me that we tolerate it. And it's just the same kind of apathy that leads us to think, well, we don't really care about what's going on in Iraq. By the way, the Iraq war now has officially lasted longer than World War II. So let's put it this way. Liberal Democrats defeated two of the most powerful military powers in the world at the time, the Germans and the Japanese. And a Republican Congress and a Republican president takes even longer to defeat a bunch of people out in the street with machine guns. There you go. Very smart, guys. Really well done. Like that you know, that we had that video on my site where they have, I guess they're U.S. soldiers. They're in a Humvee, and the picture is taken like from the back of a truck, and the Humvee or whatever vehicle it is moving away from a bunch of kids who are running, and the guy's holding up a water bottle. Say, come on, you want it? Come on, run. And they're just seeing how long they can make this Iraqi for the water. And the comment that I made is, yeah, I know. I hear all the stuff about schools being painted, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? There's an old saying when you work for a company that one, oh crap, wipes out about 10 attaboys. And we've had lots of oh craps out there. And oh crap, it's time for the top of the hour and the news. And again, the number to call in, 1-877-443-2366. And we'll be back to talk about election reform here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show on the Head On Radio Network.
The News Network.
This is the Quality News Network. A U.S. fighter jet crashed in Iraq's Anbar province today. The fate of the pilot is not yet known, nor is the cause of the crash. Officials also say three more U.S. troops died yesterday. Iraqi President Jalal Talabani arrived in Iran today for meetings with Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Syrian President Bashar Assad was also invited to the talks, but has not responded to the offer. Talabani was supposed to arrive in Tehran on Saturday, but was unable to fly out because of a three-day curfew that closed the airport. Just minutes after the curfew was lifted today, both Sunnis and Shiites were killed in a fresh wave of violence. Officials also discovered more bodies dumped throughout the city. Britain's defense minister is saying today that Britain expects to be able to withdraw thousands of its 7,200 troops from Iraq by the end of next year. Poland and Italy have also announced planned withdrawals. In London, officials say an autopsy will likely be conducted later this week on former KGB spy Alexander Litvinenko, who died last week of radiation poisoning. Also, an official says radiation has been found in several more locations in London. That's in addition to traces already found at his home and a hotel and restaurant he visited. Three people who also visited those sites will undergo testing. President Bush is now headed to Latvia, where he'll attend a two-day NATO summit. Mr. Bush is expected to push for more spending on defense, especially in Afghanistan, where the NATO commander has requested more troops and supplies. After the summit ends, Mr. Bush is scheduled to meet with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki in Jordan. Pope Benedict travels to Turkey tomorrow, where the Prime Minister now says he will meet with the pontiff before leaving for the NATO summit. The Pope's visit is controversial because of comments he made in September about the Prophet Muhammad, which many Muslims felt were disrespectful. In Israel, Prime Minister Ehud Olmert now says Israel is prepared to exchange a number of Palestinian prisoners for the Israeli soldier whose abduction in June triggered the war with Hezbollah. The condition for that exchange is that the ceasefire, which went into effect yesterday in Gaza, holds. In South Korea, officials have announced plans to kill an unspecified number of cats and dogs to help curb the spread of bird flu. The country has confirmed its first outbreak in 3 years. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are coming up next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Representatives from 120 countries will attend a UN Global Hazardous Waste Conference this week in Kenya. Policymakers are trying to stop the dumping of used electronics in poor countries. Investments in Vietnam rose almost 50% this year, with more than $8 billion pledged as of November 20th. Vietnam is set to join the World Trade Organization next month. Executives at Ford Motor Company plan to acquire about $18 billion in loans to help with cash flow and fund its restructuring. Those transactions are expected to close before the end of the year. Honey Baked Foods is recalling thousands of pounds of ham and turkey after discovering the meat could contain Listeria, a bacterium that can cause nausea, headaches, and fever. The items were sold between September 5th and November 13th. A Toyota executive who oversaw its hybrid vehicle program, including the Prius, died in a plane crash on Saturday. He was 59. French President Jacques Chirac is giving a stamp of approval to a possible merger between Air France and the ailing Alitalia. Light sweet crude is trading at $59.82. Stocks plunged in early trading today following reports of slower-than-expected sales at Walmart over the Thanksgiving weekend. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is down 128 points at 12,152. NASDAQ down 41 points. S&P 500 down 14. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly.
Welcome back to the Cup of Joe Radio Show, the show that asks the all-important question.
Hey, you gonna eat that?
And now, back again for another hour of truth and fury. Here's the man your bosses hate, the voice of the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio.
Okay, the second hour here of the Cup of Joe Radio Show. I want to thank Dave and Sarge for calling in. And again, the number to call in if you want to talk to me about this stuff. All this stuff happening. That's 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And, of course, I invite everybody to go into the Head On Radio chat room. Just go to HeadOnRadioNetwork.com and click in the live chat link, and you can get to talk to some of the smartest people on the internets who are sitting in there. And, yes, I know I never go in there during the show. Actually, I don't really go in there at all lately. I just have been too busy with other things to sit in a chat room for a while. And those times when I'm not too busy, no one's there. But they're good people. They're smart people. And, of course, you can always go to my blog at cuoe.blogspot.com. Generally, not always, but generally, the stuff that I'm talking about is stuff that I've already started to talk about on the blog. And that's cupojop.blogspot.com. And you can go there and listen in. And I'm going to start... the shows are archived on the White Rose Society. That's whiterosesociety.org, since I'm doing websites. And so if you missed the show, you can always go on the White Rose Society website and listen to the rerun. In fact, I need to start getting back into the habit of podcasting the shows, putting the link on the things. People say, how come you haven't had any podcasts? You know, I used to do the report, which I was doing five little two-minute things a week, until circumstances forced me to change that. That was basically the move and all the other things. And right now I really don't have the time to put together something like that every day, because it takes, you know, you have to think about what you're going to write. And I do this all by myself over here. You know, yes, I do get some help from Agnes. And, of course, Zach is running the controls today here as the producer on the show. And I do get a little help from Agnes and Bob and all that. But what I really need is somebody here with me that I could sit down and talk to and go over some ideas, because basically it's just me. And I mentioned I had a story about my bat. I lost my bat, and this is why I'm not a very good fighter for the right, for the left, folks. A very good person to fight the right in that sense, physically speaking. I went out and I took the bat with me because I just wanted to use it, just, you know, like a walking stick, you know, just, and not that I need a walking stick, but sometimes you just like to, you know, have a little stick or pole to hang on to something. I thought, well, I'll take my bat. And I went into a store to buy something, and I forgot it. And the store was like, you know, way away. It's not a place that I can, it's not like it was at the Family Dollar or the Walgreens or whatever I have here near me. No. It was someplace too far away for me to go look. So I'll have to get another bat. If anybody wants to send me a bat, email me at joe@cupjoe.com. And you can send me another bat. I need to get one, but I want to be clear when I tell people I've got a bat. Yes, I've got a bat. I may have lost it for the moment, but I've got a bat, and I'm looking to crack skulls. Not right yet. I'm not saying we should all go out and do that right now, although there's times when I think that. But whenever, you know, their particular version of Kristallnacht comes, if it ever comes, I think we should all be ready. And some people say, well, you know, you really shouldn't be saying that because, you know, you sound very militant. You're damn right I'm militant. I think I've got good reason to be militant. Excuse me. And my question to you is, why aren't you militant? Why are you still sitting there with puppies and daisies and flowers blooming, thinking everything's going to be wonderful and peace and nice? And sometimes the only way things get wonderful and peace and nice is because you had to go out and bash the skulls in of people who want to make the world miserable. And that's what the Republicans do, ladies and gentlemen, is that they make the world miserable. I've always said about, even about the people I don't particularly care for, people who are ignorant, people who are willfully ignorant, people who are self-obsessed to the point where they don't care who has to die so that they can get one more creature comfort. Morons. I've always said that I want them to be happy and prosperous morons, whereas the Republicans want them to be poor and miserable morons. Because to them, poor and miserable morons means more power and more money for them. I am not ambitious in that regard. I'm happy to have what I have. And as little as I have compared to some, I know that my life is 10 times better than probably 5 billion people in this world. I understand that. But a lot of people don't. And I just want, you know, I bitch and moan about people wasting their lives doing worthless stuff. Well, you know what? I would like to live in a world where the stuff they do like that, if you want to sit there and wait for 2 or 3 days to wait for a PlayStation, I want to live in a world where you can do that without guilt about how many people are we killing, so that I can sit here for 3 days and then spend hours wasting my time killing crap on a video game. You know, I dislike video games. I dislike video games not because, you know, they're violent and whatnot. You know, screw that. I despise them because they're wastes of time. Because they you're not doing anything productive or creative. You're just vegetating. I don't care how good it is for hand-eye coordination and whatever mental tricks you have to go through. And, of course, a lot of people just plain out, just look for ways to cheat on the games anyway. And, frankly, they designed the game so that if you don't cheat, you can't win. Okay? Kind of like the way things are in real life, right? If you play by the rules, you get screwed. But it's a waste of time. I had my son James, my oldest son, he showed me a really nice little computer game where it was like you design your own fantasy role-playing type game, and you build your own maps and stuff like that. And I started, you know, messing around with it, you know, building maps, which is what I'd love to do more than anything else along those lines. And I'll sit there and make these little, I'll put a mountain range here, and I'll put a city here, and I'll put a river here and all that. And I like doing stuff like that. But then I realized, you know something, I'm spending too much time on this. And it's the same reason why I don't have cable TV here in the house. Not yet, anyway. Maybe in the future. But because I know that I'll wind up sitting there just watching useless crap for 2 minutes of the day and not do anything creative. I can't do the radio show. I'm going to watch these 4 episodes of Roseanne that I've seen 400,000 times already. Because that's what they do now. You know, they take these shows and they'll have like 4-hour blocks. So you can get to watch, you know, the same episodes of the Roseanne and the Nanny, and you know, Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie and all these shows, and you get to sit there and vegetate the whole day. Isn't that a wonderful way to spend your afternoon? Not doing anything but vegetating. I don't like to do that anymore, and I hope you don't too. I'm not saying you shouldn't watch those shows. I'm just saying that moderation. And people who spend 2 days waiting for a video game to buy a video game are not doing stuff in moderation. Anyway, let's take a break. Yes, I am going to talk about election reform. I got on this rant. The number to call in is 1-877-443-2366. I will be talking about election reform and exit polls and what we need to do. But it's a Puffy Yami Yumi break here. We'll be back in a few on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
The Native American Journalists Association is calling out to tomorrow's reporters, photographers, editors, and publishers to represent Native perspectives.
Today's agreement allows the Nebraska State Patrol and Winnebago Tribal Police to share enforcement.
The tribe is taking its concerns to the Bureau of Reclamation, which manages and
Native American inmates have filed suit against the prison.
Go to NAJA.com to learn more about membership and benefits. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid.
When? Somebody tell me when the United States of America went from a can-do country to a can't-do country. Was can-do washed away in the fetid floods of Katrina? Was can-do killed in the stinking sands of Iraq? Did can-do get buried in the dank and gassy hole of Sago number 1? Where did the Bush administration go when they took can-do out and killed it? What happened to a nation that never said we can't? What happened to that nation that knew that the only thing it had to fear was fear itself?
Well, Mr. Kincaid, we've replaced that slogan. Now all we have is fear.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on the Head On Radio Network. Do you know what you
want? This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fix stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Clean up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything. Yeah.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
This is the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe radio show. And we're hearing again the number to call in, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. I mentioned earlier one of my favorite websites, Sideshow, which is run by Avedon Carroll out there in the UK, in the wonderful UK. Tony Blair is not going to be prime minister there very much longer. And of all the things that have happened from the Bush administration, the saddest to me is the decline and fall of Tony Blair. Because when he first came into power in England, I was extremely happy because here we had a young, energetic guy, you know, who I thought was going to make, you know, things better, not just for Britain, but for the world. And he just wound up totally sucking up to Mr. Bush and just screwing everybody over. And it's a damn shame because I had such high hopes for him, and now he's going to go down in disgrace. And it's his own fault. You know, when you hitch your wagon to Mr. Bush, bring a shovel. Because they're going to dump all over you. And I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe he was just thinking if that he could moderate Mr. Bush. And you can't moderate these people. But anyway, I was reading Avedon Carroll's site, and they had a thing about, and she was had so many different sources on it, talking about the exit polls in 2000. And this is from, what site this is? This is from truthout.org, which sourced the electiondefensealliance.org. And let me read off what it says. The 2006 Edison-Mitofsky exit poll was commissioned by a consortium of major news organizations. Its conclusions were based on the responses of a very large sample of over 10,000 voters nationwide and posted at 7:07 p.m. election night on the CNN website. That exit poll showed Democratic House candidates had outpolled Republicans by 55.0% to 43.5% and 11.5% margin in the total vote for the U.S. House, sometimes referred to as the generic vote. By contrast, the election results showed Democratic House candidates won 52.7% of the vote to 45.1% for Republican candidates, producing a 7.6% margin in the total vote for the U.S. House, 3.9% less than the Edison-Mitofsky poll. This discrepancy is far beyond the poll's plus or minus 1% margin of error and has less than 1 in 10,000 likelihood of occurring by chance. By Wednesday afternoon, the Edison-Mitofsky poll had been adjusted by a process known as forcing to match the reported vote totals for the election. This forcing process is done to supply data for future demographic analysis, the main purpose of the exit poll. It involved reweighting every response so that the sum of those responses matched the reported election results. The final result posted at 1 p.m. November 8 showed the adjusted Democratic vote at 52.6% and the Republican vote at 45%, a 7.6 margin exactly mirroring the reported vote totals. The forcing process in this instance reveals a greater deal. The party affiliation of the respondents in the original 7:07 p.m. election night exit poll closely reflected the 2004 Bush-Kerry election margins. After the forcing process, 49% of respondents reported voting for Republican George W. Bush in 2004, while only 43% reported voting for Democrat John Kerry. This 6% gap is more than twice the size of the actual 2004 Bush margin of 2.8% and a clear distortion of the 2000 electorate. There is a significant oversampling of Republican voters in the adjusted 2006 exit poll. It simply does not reflect the actual turnout on Election Day 2006. And it goes on. Now, you may recognize the fact that we haven't really been doing a whole lot of exit polling to begin with since 2000, because the exit polls in Florida particularly clearly showed that Al Gore won Florida. But one of the things that they're doing is that they're making sure, and with this forcing process, they're trying to force the facts to fit their ideology. And the ideology is that Republicans did a lot better than what they're saying there. But the game was rigged, people. We've known it for a while. I knew it was going to happen in 2006. I was just unaware that we were going to have so many votes to overturn. And quite frankly, more of the zombies turned against the Republicans this time around. They won't make the same mistake next time. But it's up to the Democrats to do something about it. Let's go to the phones. Let's get Timber from North Carolina. Timber, hi. How you doing, Timber? You there? Oh, he hung up. Okay. I'm sorry. We lost him. Technical issues. He didn't hang up. It was technical issues. He didn't hang up. It was technical issues. Timber, I recognize as one of the guys who was telling me that I was being too nice about stuff. And you know what? Maybe I was, you know? Maybe I was. I am just a pragmatist. I'm one of those guys that, look, let's just see. Okay? Let's just see what happens. The Republicans were cheating, ladies and gentlemen. Where they screwed up is that they didn't cheat enough. Okay? That's where they screwed up. But my question to you is, what are the Democrats going to do about it? This is a huge opportunity for them. This is a huge opportunity. Are they going to blow it? The exit polls clearly showed that the Democrats won by large margins. As Dave said last time, we probably lost about 50 or 60 seats because of Republican cheating. Excuse me. Got a little drink of water there. The fact that no Democratic incumbent lost, not a single one at any level in the 2000 election, none that I've heard anyway, not a single one lost, shows the extent of the Democratic victory, the distance between the rest of the country and the Republican Congress, okay? And it still goes to show the power of the incumbency, that 435 seats up for grab, we're only talking about a change of 20 or 30 or so, a little more than that. And it would have been even greater, and even that change would have still maybe been, what, about 20%? Wouldn't it be remarkable if one year that we had every single congressional seat go to one party? Wouldn't that be amazing to have 435 Democrats? It would be horrible to have 435 Republicans, wouldn't it? But you know something? And that's the thing about Roe's strategy. And the reason why I think things screwed up for them is because Roe's strategy has never been to win by a landslide. And I really wonder what would have happened if the things had gotten to a point where the Republicans still managed to hang on to Congress. What kind of outcry would we have had if the Republicans, after all the polls clearly showing that there was going to be a huge Democratic wave, despite the press, and you know something? You know, I don't believe a damn word the press is saying. I don't believe a damn word the press is saying. And I think a lot of people have turned them off too. That's what I really, really think. Izvestia nepravda, I pravda ne izvestia. There is no truth in the news. There is no news in the truth. I found that line. Izvestia nepravda, I pravda ne izvestia. And if the Republicans had maintained their hold on Congress, there would have been a huge outcry because people have turned off the news. CNN can fix the vote all they want. And what I'm most afraid of is the pie-in-the-sky people are going to say, well, we won, and run away. 18,000 votes went missing in Florida in an election that was decided for the Republican by something like 500 votes, 300 to 500 votes. 18,000 votes went missing in that critical election. And that's one that we know for sure about, and there's others that they're investigating. There was the election in Ohio there was they're doing a recount, but you know what? Guess what they use? They use D-bulb machines. How do you do a recount on D-bulb machines? Paper ballots, people. Paper ballots counted by hand in the precinct where they were cast with a full and clear chain of custody for the ballots. It's not going to take any longer than counting them electronically. Maybe a little, but not significantly. And even so, where's the damn rush? Where's the rush? The election is November. People don't take office till January. If we can get Timber back, let's get Timber back. Anybody else wants to call, the number is 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. We got a half an hour left on the show. Man, time flies. I didn't even realize it's just 12:30 already. We'll be back in a bit in the Cup of Joe radio show here on the Head On Radio Network.
Universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. In graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation, Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you know the University of Nebraska is a virtual world leader in the field of distance education? And that they bring highly interactive learning right into the homes of students in all 93 Nebraska counties, all 50 states, and 135 countries around the world? using the latest computer website technology? I guess the lesson here is, no matter where you live, there's no place like Nebraska. The University of Nebraska, Lincoln.
I'm Alec Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
This is the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
All right, and I'm Joe Vecchio here with the Cup of Joe radio show. We're in the last half hour of the show, and again, time flies when you're having fun. Okay, we've got Timber back on the line. Timber, hi, come on in.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Pretty good. Sorry about the technical issue there.
No problem. I did hang up on you because I thought you were going to go on to the new topic, and I didn't want to throw you off. But
No, go ahead.
About the video games, and I do have an Xbox, but I only play a couple of games on it, and that was a long time ago. But I think it's kind of unfair to demonize video games unless you're willing to also lay the same criticism on people who spend hours and hours just sitting, not even playing, not even being interactive, but just sitting and being passive spectators, watching spectator sports on TV, and you know that is millions and millions and millions of people, and I don't think any of them feel like they're wasting their time just sitting on a couch watching somebody else do something. And I'm not criticizing that itself, but I think we do tend to give that a pass and then focus on things like video games or something like that, when I don't think the two are necessarily all that different. They're just a form of entertainment and a distraction.
I kind of agree, and I don't have a problem. You know, I'm a baseball fan myself. I'm a football fan, and I'll sit there and watch a game. But I think, you know, there's everything in moderation. You know,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, I wouldn't spend 3 hours waiting for. Well, I don't know. Maybe I might spend 3 hours waiting for a ticket. You know, to buy a ticket to like an important playoff game or a World Series game or something like that. But certainly, people who wait 2 or 3 days in line to see a movie, or to buy a video game, or to get a ticket to a sporting event that they can easily watch on TV, you know, I think that's just kind of overdoing it. And I don't have a problem with video games myself. I mean, I've played them before, but just moderation, you know.
Yeah, I'm not
have a little sense.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you either. I mean, I'm lucky. I have a backyard. I have a workshop where I can work on wood carving and carpentry, and I have hobbies. I draw and I paint and I play with my dogs and I go hiking and camping and stuff, but not everybody has those options, especially people in cities like yours where you're going home to an apartment and you don't even have a park to play in. I mean, so those people do need some sort of distraction and entertainment at the end of the day, but my bigger issue is that whether it's video games or sports, people obviously do have a lot of or some time on their hands. And yet people are still so ignorant about politics and economics and history, and if they could spend a couple of the hours that they spend watching SportsCenter, watching highlights of a game they just watched, talking on some sports chat on the radio, they would know what the history of their own country was, and they'd be able to be more informed voters and participate more realistically in the democracy.
Well, you know, it's something that this is a historical thing, because I was thinking about I had this book on the Byzantine Empire that I was reading, and they had in the old Byzantine Empire the big thing was the chariot races every week. That was like their football, their baseball, whatever. And they were basically it evolved into we had two teams, the Reds against the Blues against the Greens, and eventually it became so intense that these things formed political parties, so that winning or losing in the chariot race had like political implications, you know. And I wonder if we're going to get to that point eventually, you know, maybe a couple hundred years down the road, where whether or not the Cowboys win on the weekend means the Republicans are going to win in Texas. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly.
Could
what
you imagine
saying,
something like that?
I do think we have a black-white sportsman mentality when it comes to politics. It's whether your team wins or loses, and the issues. Sometimes issues be damned. As long as our team wins, then however we got there, it's the winning that counts.
And athletes running for political office. I mean, I think that's remarkable that people would someone would vote for an athlete, you know. I mean, you know, I love Joe Montana as quarterback of the 49ers, but I don't want him as my congressman, you know. And it's like, why do people think, you know, Steve Largent got elected? Was it Jerry Rice? Who was it that was running? It was a black guy who was running.
Lynn Swann was running in Virginia.
Lynn Swann, yeah. And it's like, you know, okay, granted, they're popular people, and, you know, and politics is about marketing and name recognition and all that. But when people are voting for somebody, don't they want to vote for someone who's actually knowledgeable? Okay, here's the way I always use it. Timber, let me ask you a quick question, okay?
Yes.
This is the way I always phrase it. Who would you think generally speaking, would be more moral people, car repair people or veterinarians?
Veterinarians,
on you know... Just on basic thing, right?
Right.
Yet when your car breaks down, do you take it to a veterinarian because they're a more moral person?
No.
See what I'm saying? Leave politics to the politicians, you know? I mean, just because Lynn Swann was one of the greatest receivers of all time doesn't necessarily make them a good political figure. And people think, well, you know, he did good on the football field, and of course the football field is a good metaphor for the way real life is. Well, of course, that's BS, because football and all sports are played within a set structure, whereas real life is much more rough and tumble. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, I guess if somebody was educated, I mean, if Lynn Swann was a political science major or something before he got into football and read and kept up with current events and maybe volunteered in his community, or if he worked his way up through the city council to be a state representative or something like that, then I could see it. But
sure,
we've had actors like the guy who played Gopher on The Love Boat, and Sonny Bono, and I think in one of the states, the guy who used to play Cooter on The Dukes of Hazzard was running for state office. So, I mean, it just depends on what you've done with your time off the playing field, too, I guess.
Well, obviously, you know, if this is American, people have the right to vote for anyone they want to, and I don't disregard that right, but I think a lot of times people make questionable decisions. I mean, I remember the Cooter thing because that was in Georgia. He was running against Newt Gingrich.
Okay.
And so I would, you know, I couldn't vote for him because I didn't live in that congressional district, but I was like all for it, you know. Yeah, anybody but Newt, you know.
Right.
I'd rather have Cooter than Newt, to be perfectly honest. And it goes to show where we've gotten in our political lingo, where the choices are between someone named Cooter and someone named Newt, right?
Right. I mean, because there are plenty of businessmen and attorneys and people like that in Congress who are just as ignorant about the history of their own country as Cooter probably is. So I don't know, a person's background, it's hard to make those kind of generalizations.
It is hard to make those generalizations, and sometimes, you know, I prefer to have lawyers in there, because if you're going to write laws, it helps that if you know something about the law, but you don't always want someone like that. I mean, sometimes you need somebody from an outside force. But I think a lot of people just say, you know, they look at an athlete or a celebrity, and Ronald Reagan is a perfect example. You know, Reagan looked good and he sounded good,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, he was morally bankrupt. But he had a nice grandfatherly type face, and even I fell for it for a certain time. And you look at that and you think, well, okay. And Clinton had that whole kind of celebrity thing going. He knew how to play the market. But Clinton was a good politician. And to a certain extent, Reagan knew how to play the game. He played it a lot more forcefully than you probably should, and he was very deceitful about things, much more than Clinton was. But I think people sometimes just do things for the wrong, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the whole charisma thing, that's why we have people like John Kerry or Howard Dean as the stronger contenders, even in the Democratic Party, instead of somebody like Dennis Kucinich, who just happens to be short and have a bad haircut and doesn't play as well
right.
on camera. I mean, despite his qualifications and the fact that he's probably smarter and a better person than either one of those guys, he was still just not even a contender.
Well, it's interesting that you should point that out, because during the 2004 campaign, I was a Dean supporter, okay? And during the whole primary session, I had some people trying to convince me to go to Kucinich. And I happen to like Dennis Kucinich a lot,
mm-hmm.
okay? I happen to agree with him on pretty much every issue. But I said to them, the way I feel about Kucinich is I like him being a congressman where he is. I think that there's a difference between being a president and being a congressman. And while I might agree with Mr. Kucinich on all the issues, I don't know if he has the political savvy to get what he wants into action. I preferred Governor Dean because he was a governor, and a governor has much more direct experience.
Right.
With that. So at least, you know, even, you know, I had a logical reason for liking Dean, even though Dean, I don't always agree 100% with what he has to say. And a lot of people say, well, you know, Dean's too much of a moderate. Well, maybe he is, but impotent. And Kucinich, you know, maybe he would have turned into a good president. Who knows? But you have to show me beforehand that you're capable of working in that realm. And
sure.
While I might, you know, I agree with the Green Party on a lot of things, but tactically I have a lot of serious problems with the way they handle things.
Well,
so
got to get some new ideas in there somehow.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to try. And, you know, I think it's funny. I rag on the Green Party sometimes, but what's funny is the Libertarians talk this and that, but and they get constantly outpolled by the Greens. And what does that tell you?
That the Libertarians are represented more by the Republicans than the Greens are represented by Democrats.
Right, well, that's a good thing. I was just going to say, because the Libertarians talk Libertarian but vote Republican. You know, when it comes to the thing, and my friend Dave Merrill used to say, you know, to the Libertarians, remember, that's L for Libertarian, not R for Republican on your ballot. And, you know, and but I think, you know, getting back to the original point, I think that sometimes we get too self-involved with the things that we do. I mean, I used to spend, when I was in the military, I used to spend a lot of my weekends playing Dungeons and Dragons or the rough equivalent to that. And there were a lot of people who did that, but even though I did that, the people that I gamed with, I also, you know, we would go out to different national parks in Japan. This is when I was in Japan in the Air Force. And we would go off the base and we would do things together apart from just that, you know. So I think if you start to take stuff in moderation, then it's just a little bit better. I mean, there were guys on the base who almost never left the base. I mean, here they were in Japan. Get the chance to visit Japan, and they spent all of their time on the base.
Wow.
And I thought that was rather sickening. And, you know, because I don't like the Japs. I don't like anything about the Japs. I don't want to, you know, we got a McDonald's on the base and I'm happy.
Right.
And we live such sheltered lives, man. So, listen, we're coming up on a break here, so I got to let you go, Timber. Thanks for calling in. And I understand, you know, you're the guy that's telling me that, you're one of the guys that's telling me that I'm too happy about stuff, and I just try to be pragmatic. You know, I try to find a good middle between you and the other guys who are telling me that, you know, I'm too negative all the time.
Well, there's no point in talking about it until we see what they do in January anyway.
That's exactly it. You know, people are dumping on Pelosi and people are praising Pelosi. So, look, she hasn't even taken office yet, okay? Let's find out what she does, and then I'll make my commentary based upon that, all right?
Take care, Jeff.
Take care, Timber. Okay, we got just a few more minutes left here on the show. We're going to have our last break, and we'll be back with more here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Let's hit the music, Zach.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any coursers like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office 1-888-384-5249.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
We are taking to the streets, sidewalks, paths, and parks across Canada in support of ALS research and to raise money to provide quality care for the thousands of Canadians living with ALS and their families. Please join us. Walk for ALS is a fun, family-friendly event occurring in more than 60 communities across Canada. We are walking because ALS is a devastating disease. The average life expectancy is only 2 to 5 years.
We are walking because every day, 2 to 3 Canadians die from ALS.
We are walking to provide hope.
We are walking for those who can't. Most people with ALS will lose the use of their legs in the first 2 years of the disease. What would you do while you still could? For more information or to register for the Walk for ALS, visit www.als.ca/walkforALS.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Ah, okay, here I am. Here I am. I'm here. Sorry about that. I was typing, and I got caught up in it. How is everybody doing today? It's the last 10 minutes or so of the show. If you want to get a call in, you know what? At this point, let's just not do that because we're not going to have time to have a serious conversation. And this is conversation radio. You know, right wing radio is confrontation radio. We are conversation radio. We want to talk to people. I didn't have Timber come on and yell and scream at him. I didn't have David come on and yell and scream at him. I didn't have Sarge come on and yell and scream at him. No. We have a nicer talk. You know what I'm saying? You see what I'm going to say to you? We have a nicer talk. You sit down, you have a cup of the coffee, you have a nicer talk. You sit down to be nice. All right? Be nice. I heard somebody talking about how uncivil we are today, and not just, you know, and I noticed this, and not just on radio. I mean, I watch, like, even like I watch just on football shows, the pregame shows and all that, which I never watch anymore, which I'm going to stop watching anyway. But I look at it as it's all just people yelling at each other and insulting each other, and you know, saying, "Ah, you were wrong about last week. Ah, you suck." All you ought to do is maybe have, you know, every time somebody gets wrong, something like that, they get to get one whack with a baseball bat. You know, you get. Oh, I'm going to hit you in the head now. Bonk. Oh, won't have any hosts left. But then again, there's no number of jocks. Have you noticed that all the football announcers, every single one of them, are ex-football players? I was never the greatest fan of Howard Cosell, but he was absolutely right. He had in his book, I Never Played the Game, where he talked about that, the jock influence. In that if you're going to school and you want to be a sports broadcaster, give up any hope you have of being able to broadcast pro football games. Because everybody, I can't think of a single person who is not an ex-football player or someone who has been a broadcaster for a long time and is not the son of a broadcaster. Like last night on the football game I was watching between the Bears and the Patriots, you had Troy Aikman, former quarterback for the Cowboys, and you had Jack Jones, I think his name. He's the son of Buck Jones. No. Something Buck, who was the son of Joe Buck, who was the son of Jack Buck. That's it. Who used to be an announcer. So there's a ton of combination of nepotism and just jock. You know, and we live kind of in a jock culture. You know, Bush likes to describe himself as a big I'm Mr. Tough Guy. I'm a jock. I'm, you know, blah, 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 blah. And all the other little jockettes worship him. You know what they say? If you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter. excuse me. We need a Revenge of the Nerds Day. You know, the reason why Al Gore is mocked is because he has, you know, he's a nerd. He's a smart boy. And we have such a distaste for intellectualism in this country. And Al Gore is just being mocked for. By the way, speaking of Al Gore, there was a piece that I got via another website about how the National Science Teachers Association is refusing to accept thousands of copies of Al Gore's movie An Inconvenient Truth because they're afraid that, you know, it'll being biased by outside organizations was their official claim. But of course, the reality is that they're being threatened by companies like ExxonMobil, who already provide them with a lot of information. I mean, they provide them with a lot of information debunking, or at least they say debunks, global warming. And it's not like, you know, ExxonMobil has a monopoly on it. You know, it's not like ExxonMobil has a little bias. That's the word I was looking for. It's not like ExxonMobil is a little biased, don't you think? But Gore is not a jock. He doesn't have the jock mentality. And we try to turn, you know, if he wants to be a proper politician, we have to turn him into an entertainer. And this goes back to what I was talking about with Timber in that last segment. You know, Gore can't just be a good politician and a good legislator and a smart guy in general and an intellectual. No, he's got to make us laugh, and he's got to do this and he's got to do that, blah blah blah. And that's a damn shame, because you know, when Gore was running for president, this was a person who was probably the most qualified, not just in this but of any era, one of the most qualified people ever to run for president. He was a congressman, he was a senator, and he was vice president for 8 years. But instead, through cheating, the job wound up going to a guy who was completely inexperienced, whose only accomplishments in life were because of his family name. As the jokes, and you know, the joke we used to tell about, you know, him leading the search for Osama bin Laden, we're entrusting the search to Osama bin Laden to a man who couldn't find oil in Texas. Mr. Bush has failed at everything he's ever done in his life, and he's always had his mommy and daddy's friends to come and back him up, just like James Baker with the little Iraq group coming in. And what are they going to do? They're going to say, well, maybe we need some diplomacy with Iran. Say, you know what? We have screwed up so royally in Iraq, there's nothing we can do but leave. Just leave. Get out. What was the mission in Iraq? What were we planning on accomplishing? Professor Ron Cole was asking that on his website today. You know, we may not have liked Saddam Hussein, and obviously, I'm not defending him in any way, shape, or form, but you know what? Under him, at least, Iraq was a stable country. Now it's a disaster. People are fleeing by the millions. People are dying by the thousands. And it only gets worse and worse. And it's not going to get any better. And our presence there is making things worse. Excuse me. And a big part of it, according to Professor Cole, and a big part of the reason that the violence has escalated, and it has nothing to do with our elections, you know, because if they were trying to influence our election, you know what, they can stop now, because the election's over, right? But it has nothing to do with that, and it has a lot of the reason the violence has escalated to begin with is because of America's support for Israel and what they did in Lebanon. America's tacit, if not direct, support of the Israeli overreaction to the kidnapping of a few soldiers that leveled Lebanon, southern Lebanon, and destroyed what was being called not the Velvet Revolution, something like that. It was a G. It had a G. The word had a G in it. And they called the American troops the Jews, basically. I forget what is the phrase that let me look on the website here. Where is it? It was a long post, so I got to find it. But they basically refer to Al Yahud. That's it, Al Yahud, the Jews. That's how they refer. The Iraqis refer to U.S. troops. What are we accomplishing in Iraq? What is going on there? Anyway, I'll have more about this on Friday. I'm going to talk to Professor Cole and hopefully get him on the show on Friday so we can talk about this in more detail. But in the meantime, we have Mark Levine coming up. I guess he's live, but the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine is coming up here on the Head On Radio Network. I want to thank Zach for producing the show. I want to thank Bob and Agnes Kincaid for beginning the Head On Radio Network. I want to thank my good friend Ben Birch of the White Rose Society, whiterosesociety.org. And I want to thank all the other hosts and all the other people who participate, all of my callers, all of my listeners here on the Head On Radio Network. I'm Joe Vecchio. This is the Cup of Joe Radio Show, and I'm signing off. And remember, it's not finished yet. The election was only beginning. Get back to work. Bye.
I want a cup of Joe. I'll crave a plate of Dave. Open a jar of Joe. Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug with the creamer of steam. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scotch. Heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick. That'll do. Upon a tray of Ray, I'll lick a spoon of Shaw. Do I need to go on? I want a cup of Joe. Yeah, da 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 da.
Quality News Network at the top.
This is the Quality News Network. The U.S. military reports that an F-16 fighter jet has crashed in Iraq's Anbar province, reportedly the first F-16 to crash in Iraq since the war began. The plane was supporting coalition ground forces when it went down. No word yet on the cause or the fate of the pilot. Also in Iraq, a border attack at a Kirkuk oil facility has shut down the flow of oil to a major refinery. Iraqi President Jalal Talabani is in Tehran for meetings today with Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who has indicated a willingness to help bring stability to Iraq. And President Bush is now en route to Latvia for a NATO summit. He meets with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki on Wednesday in Jordan. The New York Times reports that a draft report from the Baker-Hamilton Iraq Study Group calls for a regional initiative which would include direct talks with Iran and Syria, but no specific recommendations for U.S. troop withdrawals. Britain's defense minister, on the other hand, says that thousands of British troops will be withdrawn from Iraq by the end of next year. Britain has about 7,200 troops in and around Basra, Iraq's second largest city. Poland's remaining 900 soldiers will also be withdrawn by the end of 2007, while the last of Italy's troops are expected to leave this week. Pope Benedict flies to Turkey tomorrow, where the Prime Minister, who originally